Said about himself, really debated this morning, do I continue that or do I break off and go with something specific to deal with Mother's Day? And as I thought about it, I really came to a piece about it, that this is a great, great passage for Mother's Day. As the thing Carol said has in the bulletin, as I've said before, Mother's Day is a happy day for some. It's a sad day for others. There are mothers, some of you sitting here this morning, who have went through the terrible experience, the terrible ordeal of having to bury one of your own children. Many of you here this morning are here, and at some point you've had to bury your own mother. So motherhood, fatherhood as well, has with it a lot of grief and a lot of pain, a lot of hardships. There's somebody sitting this morning, right up here 4 miles away, sitting in the hospital this morning with their mother, wondering if she's going to make it through the day. There's somebody this morning, right now, meeting at Hartzell's or Wilkinson's or Whitley's or Ladies, planning the funeral for their mother. And so there's a lot of grief and pain associated with Mother's Day as well. Sure, it's a joyous day, and there's a lot to do with family, but as I thought about it this morning, I think this is a good passage for Mother's Day when Jesus makes this statement and says, "I am the resurrection and the life." I think that's a great word of encouragement this morning for mothers, fathers, for all of us. A great reminder that that no matter what we're dealing with, there are some mothers today who are dealing with some hard-headed children, and they would tell you they take after their father. I know how that works, and so there are some mothers this morning who are wondering, how am I going to make it through? How am I going to deal with this child? How are we going to get through this? And there are a lot of questions that's involved in being a parent and just living life in general. So this morning I want to stick to the path we've been on. This wasn't originally the text. I went out of order for some reason. It really wasn't part of my plan, but I think now I see how it worked out. It worked out for the good. That this morning we look at this statement, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, that's a statement that most of us are familiar with. Most people in the church, we know that Christ said, "I am the resurrection and the life." We see that. We see that a lot of times even on tombstones. That's a familiar phrase of Christ. The other thing that is familiar, the other story that's familiar in the Gospel of John, is the story of Lazarus. That's one of those stories that most of us have heard since we were small children, and that is Christ raising Lazarus from the dead. Now, what most of us don't do is put those two stories together and realize that it was in the midst of the story of Lazarus that Jesus made this claim. You remember the story. Jesus is ministering, and he is good friends with Lazarus and Mary and Martha, their family. He's good friends with them, and Lazarus gets sick. And they send news to Jesus and say, "Come quick, Lazarus is sick, your friend, our brother, he's sick, he's in bad shape." And one of the most curious things in all the Word of God, the Bible tells us Jesus waits 4 days. He doesn't immediately go, he waits 4 days. And we know in hindsight how the whole story turns out, but originally that sounds a little bit strange. Well, you know the story, that during that 4 days time, Lazarus actually does pass away. And Lazarus' family sends word to Christ, and they basically send him word and say, "Never mind. It's too late. He's already passed away." But Jesus makes his way to Bethany, and when he gets there, as he's talking to the sisters, they tell him. It's one of those. You ever had a backhanded compliment where somebody they say something nice, but in the same time they kind of whack you one? Well, Mary does that. She says to him, she says, "If you'd have just been here, he would have been all right." Yeah, and so she's saying, "Lord, I know you could have done something if you'd have been here." She's wanting to let him know, "I believe in you. I know you could have done something, but you just didn't come." So she kind of gives him a little bit of a backhanded compliment. And into that, Jesus says to her, "Your brother will rise again." And she has this great word. She, you know, Martha says, I know he shall rise again in the, in verse 24, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She says, oh, I know that somewhere down the road, I know at the end of time, I know that eventually he will rise again. And Jesus looks at her and makes this statement, I am the resurrection and the life. In the middle of this story of Lazarus, he kind of just drops this bomb. He drops this bombshell into the midst of Martha's agony, of Martha's grief. He says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." All these other I ams are important. They're good, but this one hinges so much on the story that's going on what's happening around them. So this morning, the first thing I think we've got to look at, if we're going to talk about the resurrection and talk about this statement Jesus made, is really the setting. What is he talking about? And it all comes back to this simple fact. Lazarus has died. Their loved one, their brother, his friend has died, and they're grieving, they're hurting. They are, to some extent, let's face it, if you would have just been here, he would have lived. Let's face it, to some small measure, they're even kind of laying the blame at the feet of Jesus. Lord, if you'd have just come when we called you, if you wouldn't have waited 4 days, this wouldn't have happened. If you would have, you know, if you would have dropped everything and you would have came when we called, this wouldn't have happened. And so they're grieving, they're hurting, they're blaming. They're going through everything we do when we grieve. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. We got to understand, I think to understand that, you could take I am the resurrection and the life, and you could pull it out over here, and we could analyze it. We could analyze what it means, and we could look at the word resurrection. We could look at the one word that's translated as I am that goes back to the Old Testament. We could look at resurrection. We could look at life. We could tear that statement apart, and we could talk about it for hours, literally, of all the teachings and the meanings that come out of that. But if you divorce it from the setting, if you take it away from the fact that Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life to somebody who is hurting, to somebody that is in grief, to somebody that is in pain, to someone that is in agony, he looks at her and says, I am the resurrection and the life. To somebody who has just said, oh Lord, I believe in the resurrection. I believe there's a resurrection way down there. I believe that somewhere way in the future there is a resurrection. Let's face it. Had Jesus not intervened, we know the story that in a moment Jesus is going to turn around and he's going to say, Lazarus, come forth. But had Jesus not intervened, then Lazarus would have been dead now for somewhere in the range of 2,000 years. And still dead for the foreseeable future. Yeah, and so, you know, as far as Martha knows, here she's talking about something that is, you know, way, way, way in the future. And Jesus says to her, no, not way in the future. Right now, right here, in your very presence, I am the resurrection. She's looking at the resurrection as something that she believes in, but it's way off there in the future. She says, he says, no, it's not in the future. I am personally the resurrection. It's not something you have to think about, dream about. You don't even have to really have faith in it, Martha. I am standing here. I am the resurrection. I'm it. If there is any resurrection, it comes in me. If there's any life, it comes in me. And I love what he says. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I don't know if you've let that sink in for a moment. You know, and let it sink in. Because you know there's a difference in resurrection and life, right? Yeah, I don't know how many of you watch, you know, monster movies and stuff, but, you know, if you've watched any, if you've got any kind of imagination at all, you can see Lazarus, you know, when Jesus turned around to him and says, Lazarus, come forth, you know, he could have come forth, you know, still in his grave clothes and all, doing the, you know, the zombie walk and all. No, Jesus didn't just resurrect him. Jesus resurrected him and gave him life. I'll tell you this with all my heart. I believe, and you'll have to wait to, you know, we'll have to wait and ask him, but I believe this with all my heart, that the life that Lazarus lived after that was a million times better than the life he lived before that. You know, listen, Lazarus, can you imagine his life from then on? You know, tonight we're going to have a special guest speaker. We're going to have Lazarus, the man who was raised from the dead. Yeah. How many of you know that song? You know, at My Name is Lazarus. You ever heard? You heard that Southern Gospel song? You know, it talks about some characters standing around talking, and they're disagreeing and they're debating, and one guy stands up and says, "I'd like to testify. My name is Lazarus." You know, from that point on, he had a life different than anything he had ever experienced. He had something new, something that he had never known before, because he had met the resurrection and the life. And Martha, Mary, this family learned in this instance. Listen, let's be honest this morning. There is nothing that scares us and concerns us more than death. You know how I know? Because the hospital keeps expanding. You know, they keep building more wings and bigger wings. They keep adding on and we keep going. You know, we keep complaining, but we keep sending them money. We don't like that idea. We do everything we can to push it off. You know, but listen, right into the middle, you know as well as I do, there is nothing that had happened in their life any worse than death. And right up in the middle of it, Jesus just walks right in the middle of the worst situation that they'd ever had and said, "I am the resurrection and the life." This morning, listen, I don't know where your grief is. Some of you are, as I mentioned a while ago, your mothers, that perhaps this very afternoon you'll go somewhere and place flowers on the grave of your child. Some of you may go and place flowers on the grave of your mother, your father. You may be going to the hospital to visit your mother. Whatever. Whatever grief, whatever pain, whatever problem. Jesus says, "I have defeated death, hell, and the grave. There is nothing that you face that I am not the resurrection and the life." Whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether you're here today and you're grieving, you're hurting, Christ says, "I am the resurrection and the life." If He could be the resurrection and the life in the story of Lazarus, already dead and buried. You know the story. Listen, I didn't make it up. It's there. Read it yourself. When Jesus tells them to roll the stone away from Lazarus' grave, you remember what they said? They said, No. Don't roll back that stone. He's been dead so long, he already stinks. That was how long, that's how dead Lazarus was. He was dead. And Jesus says to him, "I am the resurrection and the life." I want to say to you this morning that I don't know what you're facing and what you're dealing with. Grief, death, pain, loss of job, broke, whatever it is, help, whatever it is. Into the midst of that, Jesus Christ walks up just like He did with Mary and Martha, just like He did at the tomb of Lazarus, and says, "I am the resurrection and the life." There is nothing that you face that Christ can be overcome. Nothing that is greater than His power as the resurrection and the life. You see the purpose, the setting of when He comes. Not only the purpose, but then He goes on. And He not only gives us the purpose, but look what He says. He says, the person, "I am the resurrection and the life." I love that. Think about what Martha had said. Martha says, "You know what? I know that in the last days He'll rise again." And Jesus says, "No. I am the resurrection and the life." I like that song we sang a while ago. I know it's an old one, and some of you, maybe you like new ones better than old ones, but I like that one. It says, I know. I like what John writes in his epistles. You know what he said there? He said, "I write these things that you may know." Listen, Jesus says, "I don't want you to have a hope so or a think so. I want you to know so. I am the resurrection." He says, "The resurrection is in me. It's not in some doctor. It's not in some medicine. It's not in some kind of power, or whatever." He says, "The resurrection is in me." You remember what happened? Almost, I don't want to say every time, but many times when Jesus will perform a miracle. You remember what the Pharisees and scribes would do, the religious people, those that followed? They'd come along and they would come to him and they'd say, "Now how'd you do that?" Kind of like, you know how we sometimes watch these magicians and all. How do you do that? You know, when Jesus would give a blind man back his sight, or, heal a crippled man, how'd he do that? Whose name did he use? Where did he get that power? That was the question that they ask every time. They want to know, how'd he do that? Who gave him the authority to do that? Who gave him the power to do that? Whose name did he do that in? Jesus says, let's clear this up. Let's get this straight right here, right now. I didn't do this in anybody's name. I didn't do a magic trick. I'm not about some, magic spell. I am the resurrection and the life. If there is any life, if there is any resurrection, it comes through me. It is from me. I am the giver of life. All things, the Bible says, were created by Him. He says, let's clear up any misconception you may have. Y'all are always asking, how do I do this? Whose name do I do this in? I'm going to clear this up ahead of time. I'm going to tell you, before He ever comes out of that tomb, I am the resurrection and the life. Listen, I want you to understand something this morning. Jesus clears up so much with that. There are a lot of people there. You go out, and I've noticed this. I don't know about you, but here's what I've noticed. Everybody I meet, everybody I know is going to heaven. Y'all have that problem? You don't believe it? Ask them. Everybody I meet, they're going to heaven. Every one of them. You ever been to a funeral where they got up and said, "This guy here, he's no count. He's burning in hell." No. Everybody's going to heaven. Just go out and ask them if you don't believe me. Everybody, you going to heaven? Yep. Yeah. Now, here's the question. Not all you going to heaven, how you getting there? Now you get into all kinds of stuff. I used to work with a lady who, she was going to heaven, and this is the honest truth. This was her story. She is sticking to it. I'm going to heaven. I know God approves of me because every winter I buy fuel oil for old people. That's how she is getting there. Now, here's my question. Here's my problem with that mindset. Is how much fuel oil is enough fuel oil to keep you out of hell? What if Martin buys more old people fuel oil than you do? What if you don't buy the right people fuel oil? Yeah. You got a problem. Well, I've heard people make statements like this. Oh, I'm going to heaven. Yeah. Really? How are you getting there? Oh, I'm doing my best to be good. Okay. What's good enough? You just got to be, y'all have heard that story about the two men running from the bear, right? And one of them says, we got to outrun the bear. No, I ain't got to outrun the bear. I got to outrun you. Think about it. How good is good enough? I just got to be better than Archie. Do I have to be better than half the people or most the people, or how good's good enough? Everybody thinks. Everybody I know. I meet them every day. Everybody I know is going to heaven. They all just get in there a different way. Jesus says this: I am the resurrection and the life. He says it's in a person. It's not in how good you are. It's not in what you do. It's not in what you think. It's not in what you say. It's not in where you go to church. It's not in how much fuel oil you buy for cold people or old people or old cold people. It's in Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. You see the purpose. You see the person. You see the promise. Look what He says. He says, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I want you to do something. I'm going to give you some homework. I don't do this very often. I want to give you some homework. And you take every day this week, and you get up, first thing you do, several times a day, whenever you want to, a dozen times a day, but at least once a day, you take your little, this little thing, and mark it, or take your bulletin, or you got four-leaf clover, you got ironed in wax paper, whatever, and you mark this spot, okay? And every day this week, I want you to get up and at least once a day, read this verse. And I want you to come back to me next Sunday. That means all of you got to be here next Sunday. Method to my madness. You know, all of you got to come next week, and I want you to tell me this. Did the verse ever become past tense? You remember your English? I hate to do that. I really do. I really hate to give homework, and I really hate to bring up English. You know, but you remember past tense, present tense, and future tense, right? Past tenses. There you go. I'm just checking to see if you're paying attention. Present tenses. See, y'all just had to be smart there and say now instead of present, didn't you? Present tenses and future tenses. Future. You read that verse every day this week, and I want you to see if it ever becomes past tense or future tense. Every day you read it, Jesus will be saying, I am the resurrection and the life. You read it 10 times a day. You can read it 100 times a day. You can read it all day, every day, and it will always be right now, right here. I am the resurrection and the life. Present tense. Always. It's not something way off in the future. It's not I was or I might be. It is I am. I believe the actual English word is, the fancy English is present imperative. It is now and it is an imperative. I am the resurrection. Then here's the problem. Here's the problem. That's the promise. Here's the point. He goes on in that passage. He goes on in that verse and he says this. I, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You read those two verses over and over and over this week and you'll notice this. That the words of Christ do not change. They will always be present. They will always be right now, as y'all said while ago about present tense. I am the resurrection and the life. He's the resurrection and the life right now. He'll be the resurrection and the life in an hour. He'll be the resurrection and the life next week. He'll be the resurrection and the life in a million years. He'll be the resurrection and the life throughout eternity. He is the resurrection and the life. The only variable in that statement is this one. Do you believe it? Believest thou this? That's his point. That's what he's trying to get us to see. See, here's something I know. Our beliefs change us. I know I've used this, but it's such a great spiritual question, a spiritual application to this story. You've heard it, I know. But I think about, again, the story of the man pushing the wheelbarrow back and forth across the tightrope, the tight wire over Niagara Falls. The man on the shore, just, hey, 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 do it again, do it again. And the man comes back with his wheelbarrow and he gets over there and he says, you really believe I can do it again? Yeah, do it again, do it again. He said, well, get in the wheelbarrow. Get in the wheelbarrow. If we really believe Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, wouldn't we get in the wheelbarrow? Wouldn't we? If you're sitting here this morning and you say, I am a Christian, I know beyond any shadow of a doubt, I know I've been saved. I know about my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no doubt, there is no question in my mind about my relationship. I know that. I believe that with all my heart. Then shouldn't we be in the wheelbarrow? Shouldn't we be telling people, if I believe Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, shouldn't I be telling people where the resurrection and the life is? If I believe He's the resurrection and the life, if He's the life, shouldn't I be living for Him? If He's who gives me life, shouldn't I be living that life for Him? If He resurrected you, listen, if you're here this morning and you're saved, you know that once upon a time you weren't just lost. The Bible says what? You were dead. And you know that Christ resurrected you. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that from this day forward that Jesus could have asked Lazarus for anything. And Lazarus would have said, nah, I just don't have time today, Lord. You think? I think from that day forward, Jesus could have asked for the coat off of Lazarus' back. Yes, sir. Jesus, Lazarus, I'm hungry. That steak you're eating looks awful good. You want me to cut it up for you? You want A1? Yeah. Here, let me feed it to you. I don't think that. Why? Because Lazarus knew he was dead. Matter of fact, I got a feeling Lazarus had been wrapped up in those grave clothes. When he first come out of the tomb, resurrected, he went, what's that smell? Yeah. He knew he stunk. He would have done anything for Christ because he knew Christ was his resurrection and his life. You're here today and you're saved. Is there anything too great? Jesus says you go over there and witness to your neighbor. Tithe. Go to church. Come to Sunday school. Anything Christ? Yes, sir, Jesus, because I know without you, I'd be dead. I know without you, I wouldn't have life. I know that it's you that makes life worth living. I know that you are the resurrection and the life, and I believe that, and it'll change me. But you're here this morning, and you don't know Christ. You've never asked Him into your heart. You've never been saved. You've got to ask yourself that question. Believest thou this? Do you believe what the Word of God says? Do you believe what this Bible says? When Christ says, I am the resurrection and the life, when He says, no man comes to the Father but by me, when He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, when He says, there is no other name whereby man must be saved, given unto the heavens, you got to decide. Do I believe that or not? And if you don't, then here's what you ought to do. And I'm just going to be blunt with you. If you don't believe that, then you ought to get up, you ought to go, and you ought to find something you can believe in, something you can put your faith in, something you can put your trust in, and you ought to go for it 100%. Now, I know that may not be what you're expecting to hear at a Baptist church, but I'm just telling you, you ought to find something you can believe in. And go for it. And if you believe what Christ says, that there is no other way, that He is the resurrection and the life, then today is the day of salvation. If you believe that, then today is the day you step out. As our musicians come on the very first note, you step out and you beat me to the altar and you say, Lord, I want You in my heart. I want to know You as my Savior, my resurrection and my life, because I do believe it. And I want it to change me. Christians, you need to be here saying, Lord, I believe it and I want it to be evident. I want it to change my life. I want to be different because of my relationship with Christ. I want a relationship with Christ. As God speaks to your heart this morning, as we stand together, as our musicians come, you decide this morning what you believe and you act on it. If you believe Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, that He is the resurrection and the life, then you need to be at this altar saying, Lord, I want You as my Savior. Christians, you need to be here saying, Lord, I want my life different. If you don't believe it, you need to figure out what you do believe and live it as we sing together.